College Data Stats. Thank you very much for good morning. Let us start with our meeting. So the General's Office is here now. They've been here since 8 this morning, I guess. Waiting for Robert Milham, you all right?
I'm good, Jay, thank you. How are you?
I can't complain. Can we note apologies? Is an alternate member. Okay. I know that they called me this morning about the meeting. Because he doesn't appear. Okay. Must have do it correctly. Can we then invite the police to allow the Auditor General's office to do that? Can we give you the platform to take us through? Of course, we'll introduce your team, and then we can start on the issue.
All right. Thank you, sir. My name is Phil Rafali. I'm the senior manager for the Auditor Portfolio. And with me, I've got Stephanie Vederman. She is the manager on Peacock. And then Mr. Makoko is our recruiter here at the manager. So, yeah, this is our attention. If it's all well, then I can start the program.
Okay.
Again?
Yeah.
In the beginning.
We didn't hear you.
Okay. All right. Just to refresh, I think I'm Philip Rafael. I'm the senior manager from Auditor General, responsible for the whole group portfolio. And I've got Stephanie Vederman, who's the manager on their project. And we've got Makoko, who's our stakeholder manager. All right, I think I can then start with the presentation. All members got the presentation.
I think so.
And okay, as we start, basically it's just the annual results for the COCTA, DCOC, department, and DTA, and all the entities. So for the audit results until the 31st March. So the year end when it ended. So listen, I think the first slide more talks to us being here to basically enable accountability so that we can be able to provide that oversight over the department. The second slide is just the purpose of this briefing. It's also to prepare you for the budget review and recommendation report. So our work will lead into that. And then if you go further, slide number page number four, it talks to more to our focus, which talks to the three things that we focus on. Which is fair presentation of financial statements. And then the second one talks to reliability of the performance information, which is pretty terminal. And then the third one talks to compliance with laws and regulations. So those are the three things that we focus on when you audit. And then if you go to the next slide, It talks to different audit opinions that we issue. The first one is unqualified with no findings, which commonly known as clean audit, which we don't have any material findings. And then the second one talks to financially unqualified with findings. If this is where we have findings that relate normally to non-compliance with various laws and regulations, and also on predetermined objective, but then the financial statements will be no material errors relating to that. And then the qualified one most likely to when there is also errors on the financial statements, we've got material findings on the non-compliance, also material findings on the predetermined objective, then you get a qualified opinion. And then you can see also that as we go up, the more worse it becomes. Adverse opinion is where we normally say it is various misstatements in your financial statement. We disagree with the financial statement, basically. And the worst of all opinions is the disclaimer, where we not expressing any opinion on the financial statement because we did not get the information that required, you know, for us to express an opinion. So then if we go to the next slide just explains basically the various legends that we use across the presentation, and then also that which auditees are we covering. You can see that it's basically the whole portfolio. So you've got DCOG there, DTA, SAGA, MISA, MDB, CRL, all they are all in this presentation. So it's the presentation for the whole portfolio. And then if you go to the next slide, which is audit outcomes themselves, we've got the accountability framework, which is the next page, which is in the circle. This is what we normally explain the accountability for things to work well, where we say the department will be here every year to plan that their targets and indicators, and management teams will then go and do and do supervision, make sure that things that they plan they do. And then we've got the one that talks about check. That's where internal audit committee, portfolio committee comes into play to check if the things that were planned were done, and if they are not done, that's when we move to consequence management. And then obviously that drives the better outcomes and obviously impact on service delivery. So with the backdrop of this, if you go to the next slide, it's how we evaluate the whole portfolio, how things went about. So in terms of generally, there's a general regression across. And if we start with the plan, the status of audit action plans, we say they basically regressed. And then in terms of the usefulness of performance indicators and targets, basically remain unchanged. Still have findings that relate to that. So the planning is already a problem. And then if you go to the doing part, internal controls, they have regressed across the portfolio. Basic financial performance management controls also regressed. ICT slightly regressed, and I think more improvement is more on the feeling of the vacancy. It remains unchanged. And then I think if we go to the check part, which is more senior management, executive, internal audit, and portfolio committee in terms of providing assurance, senior management, accounting authority, and accounting officers, they have regressed. And then the executive authority is only one, so it's regressed because of the whole portfolio regressing. And then internal audit and audit committee also has regressed. The only change is the portfolio committee in terms of providing assurance. So the other ones, they're providing limited assurance, so no assurance. So it's a bit of a lower end of providing assurance. And then, so things generally have regressed in the plain doing check. So in the terms of the acting, in terms of consequence management, still not happening as it should. I think is that, that's what the only thing is that you find that this investigation, for example, did come, but then the consequence management part doesn't happen. So and that's why you find that this repeat finding in certain instances. And then if I just go to the next page, talks more to portfolio snapshot, you'll see that a clean audit it's only 33%, which is one actually, actually not one but two, that relates to SALGA and DTA. And quality of financial statements 83%, which were didn't have material misstatements and not corrected, so unqualified basically. It's 83%, which is slightly the same as last year. Quality of performance information, which is there's an improvement relating to especially coming from MISA. MISA they improved on the performance reports that they produced. And then in terms of non-compliance, there's a regression where only 33% has no material findings, which is mainly SALGA and DTA. The rest had material findings on non-compliance. And then obviously there's also an impact of high rising of irregular expenditure relating to this as well. If I go to the next slide, this is the audit outcome basically of the portfolio. You'll see that from 2014 to now it's been a general regression. 2014 you saw that 83% were sitting there in the yellow, which is unqualified with finding. And then when you move to 2015-16, you see that there's a bigger regression where you find that DCOB then comes in there with a qualification. If you go to 2016-17, you see that there's been an improvement where you find that CRL joined the clean audit space. But in the current year, when you look at the current year, CRL regressed and DCOG regressed. So CRL went to unqualified with findings and DCOG regressed to the worst opinion, which is a disclaimer opinion. So if I go to the next slide, which will show you the movement, basically what I'm just talking about, the movement in terms of CRL basically has been regressed and DCOG obviously regressed into a disclaimer of opinion. And maybe just to unpack the one on DCOG, which I will do in the slides to come in terms of which areas are the main problems basically. And then in terms of the movement of quality of financial statements and annual performance report and compliance, which is a comparison of the portfolio had went about. 2016-17, you can see there's been an improvement, I would say, in the financial statements being unqualified and performance reports being unqualified, which is the orange on top. Which is moving from 67 to 50%, which is, I think that's what you see there. Last year, the one that was, which I think is this regressed, the CRL, it has regressed basically. You see that it's unqualified with findings in terms of the medal part. And then if you go down, the ones that submitted on time, DCOG was not submitted on time. I think that's why I think you wouldn't have the annual report. It was just signed off on the 28th September. They only submitted financial statements on the 31st July, which is 2 months after the legislated deadline to submit financials. So, and the main problems around CWP, they're trying to sort out the assets, but when we audited, it became apparent that it was not sorted out. And then when we go to the next part, is the annual performance report, which is more talking to, you see, also the reduction in terms of the performance report, in terms of the ones with no material issues. And then I think also you see that obviously the corporate material issues in terms of performance. And then if you go to the next part, it's more talks to the non-compliance. Non-compliance is progress. I think if you look across the 3 years, non-compliance is still regressed because of CRL, which was clean last year, and then regressed this year. And then if you go to the next part, which is more internal control, internal focus, where the problem is, you find that in terms of internal controls themselves, DTN are added for good internal controls. MISA, CRM, and MDB, it's concerning. So if not checked, it can regret. Intervention is required at DCOG. And for example, financial and performance management is good for SALGA, and then it's concerning for DTA, MISA, CRL, and MDB. But intervention is again required in that area, for which is a regression for both areas. And if you look at governance, you've got a split of 50-50. It is DTA and SALGA, and their governance process is but if you look at DCOG, MISA, and MDB, it's more internal audit, where we think internal audit could have catched some of the things before we come into the. And in terms of assurance providers, assurance being provided in the system layers, because it's 3 layers within any organization. So if you look at senior management, we're saying, so it's either you're providing assurance, or you're providing some assurance, or you're providing limited to no assurance at all. So if we speak about senior management, SALGA is the only one that provides assurance, and then DTA, MISA, CRL, and MDB, they provide some assurance in terms of senior management. In terms of DCOG, we're saying they are providing limited to no assurance at all. And then accounting officer, in terms of providing assurance, we're saying DTA and SALGA, the accounting officers are providing assurance. But if you're looking at MISA, CRL, and MDB, they are providing some assurance. And DCOG is providing no assurance as well. And basically, the magnitude of the fine, for example, if you're talking DCOG, why we say no assurance, we didn't express an opinion at DCOG. So it's as bad as that. So it shows you that this intervention required in that space. Executive authority is only one executive authority, and it's because of DCOG being the magnitude in the portfolio. We're saying providing limited to no assurance. So that also needs looking into. And then if you look at internal audit, we're saying DTA, SALGA, and CRL, they had good internal audit and they provided assurance. DCOG, MISA, and MDB, things that we say internal audit should have picked up, they are providing some assurance. And then if you look at audit committee, we're saying MDB is the only one that should have provided assurance, but they provide some assurance, the rest they are fine, and portfolio committee provides assurance. We haven't noted anything that you haven't done. And then if you go to management and delivery of key programs, here we focus on the majority of the budget. So if you go to the page 18 there, you see that we selected the focus on the CWP program, because if you remove 71 billion, it goes to transfer, so that is not considered, which is transfer to municipalities and the entities. But then what they left with is roughly you're looking at 3.1 billion or so that they spent, which is 3.6 billion, which is the budget. And then basically the 3.1 billion, basically if you think about it, it relates to CWP program. So then that's why we say this is the key program. And then if you look at it and say they spend 85% of their budget, and then we look at the third column there, we're saying they had material misstatements in terms of financially. Obviously they receive a disclaimer of opinion in that area and on this specific program, and that's what basically driven them to a disclaimer opinion. And then if you talk about the regular expenditure, they had a regular expenditure of 331 million just contribution of the current year. This is just for the current year. And then if you look at the indicators as sitting in the annual plan, number of work opportunities provided by target date, number of additional work opportunities provided, and number of municipalities with CWP sites, and number of participants trained by the target date, and number of partnership established. All these indicators had material findings on usefulness and reliability. If we had to express an opinion, all of them basically received a disclaimer of opinion in terms of this, because either, which is crucial to the work of the committee chair, is that when they present their plan, it needs to be measurable, because that's what we find difficulty on, and this is the core of this delivery. Because if you ask them, say, what is the number of job opportunities, you get various explanations. The other one will say the number of people paid, the other one, number of jobs each person did. So it's various explanations. So that 256 million participants, we're not sure if it's the real number or not, because they could not give us proper records to show us the number of them and how they calculated them and so on. And then I think the other one is there are four targets that were achieved, and then one was not achieved related to the training of the delivery. And then if we unpack it further, and we say in CWP budget, obviously it was 3.6 billion. Extra expenditure, like I said, it was 3.1 billion. And then if we unpack as well what really drove this program to receive a disclaimer, is that we found various problems. Payments were made to implementing agents without supporting documents. They could not be provided to us. And then I think payments were made to CWP participants where we could not be given timesheets. And then we also, payments were made to deceased people, people who are deceased. And then also payments were made to people with personal numbers. These are people who would have been employed in employment of government service. So, and then the participant could not be verified. So we went there and we couldn't verify a certain participant. And then also I think the other one is the assets. We could not trace assets from the floor to the asset register. And also the other way, we could not also find the assets from the asset register to the floor. Mainly because they don't barcode their assets. And some of them, because of the nature of the program, assets are being taken to the participant's home. And some of them will find what looking for brick making machine sitting at the participant's home, and all those kind of things that are not supposed to happen. And then also we also find irregular expenditure relating to this program. And then in terms of the third one, which is more compliance, the contract of the implementing agent was extended with a prior approval of Treasury. It also had non-compliance with ACM prescripts, mainly narrowing down to local content and triple B, and then irregular expenditure was not also prevented. and then competitive bidding was not also followed for the new implementing agents, or this is the NPOs, so which were appointed in March, and they started in April. So the new implementing agents, they had a non-compliance. So it makes the expenditure for whatever period is 3 years, irregular expenditure already going forward, which is probably could have been avoided. And then also disciplinary steps are not taken against officials who commit irregular expenditure. And then on predetermined objectives, like I said, we had various findings relating to indicators and targets. Mainly, if you had to express an opinion, there is mainly a disclaimer of opinion on all those indicators. So we could not verify whether this program has yielded the intended results or mandate. And then if you go down in this box underneath there, we also do the value add assessment as well. This is narrowing down to training, because the whole program is to uplift people from poverty and to give them new skills so that they can enter the formal market and be able to uplift themselves. But we found that we had various findings in there and various limitations, and we made some recommendations that they should try and engage various stakeholders, including your teachers, to have a proper informal training and monitor and report accordingly. And also, we also made a recommendation to them that after the training, they should also give people certificates so that they can be able to apply for a formal job, then they don't have to depend on the program all the time. And also create space for other participants that can be alleviated. And also I think the other thing is always, like I said, they can engage CETAs and all other parties that provide training to help them to that, because it's part of the indicators they have, because 25,000 that they aimed, but obviously could not verify that, but it's a crucial part of the program to uplift poverty. Chairperson, that is the key program, and also just to highlight what led the disclaimer in the talk as well before I go to the other slide. It's also not only CWP, I think it's important to note. They have things like accruals is mainly you putting invoices in a listing that you haven't paid. So, and having a complete list and putting that in your financial account, that also they could not do. And also it was one of the paragraphs for this thing. And I think the other one was also assets, like I mentioned, assets with no barcode, you could not trace either way. And then I think the other area that was of a concern is the irregular expenditure. Irregular expenditure was also a disclaimer paragraph. Mainly we narrowed down as BE and local content. And BE certificate, for example, they don't verify the BE certificate. So whether they comply with certificates or not, we could not tell, because the department didn't do. And the volumes are large, so they could not quantify the irregular expenditure. The irregular expenditure disclosed now of those imbalance of 1.6 billion, we can't really say whether it's complete or not. So, because they could not quantify it themselves. So that is just the context I wanted to put on the COG, and obviously that we've spoken about the CWP. And then if we go further. In terms of financial health is just to check the financial health, basically the health status of the department and the portfolio as a whole. You see that in terms of the 2 years, the last is below and the one this year is above, you see that Mr. Salga and CRLM in terms of favorable indicators, they were fine. They had good financial health. DTA is a bit unfavorable, but it's not something really to worry about. Something that they could easily recover from. But when we could not do anything because of the figures were not reliable, we didn't express any opinion, it was the caucus, as explained. If we go to the next slide, we're more talking about the UIF, which is unauthorized irregular disposition of maximum expenditure. You'll see, Chairperson, that the first part, the colors at the bottom represent the years. Unauthorized is still sitting at 9 million. And then you got fruitless and wasteful expenditure sitting, yes, they're reduced to 500,000. Throughout the year, you can see that since 2015-16, then it went to 17-18 per million. But if you look at the irregular expenditure, yes, there's been a decline in the other years, but then you still a problem. Like I said, the bulk of the irregular expenditure basically comes from CWP program and also MISA, the largest contributors. But also MDB, I think, is the third contributor because of the building that they're sitting in, also having irregular expenditure there. So that is just in the nutshell, I'm taking the irregular expenditure. And then if you go to, I'm picking again the irregular expenditure today, what relates to the current year only. You see that majority, the first line that goes up more talks to the irregular expenditure that was basically contribution for the current year, and the non-compliance was also from the previous year. And then if you go to the next one, talks to irregular expenditure that we found a non-compliance in the current year but they relate to the previous year. So basically, that's the breakdown of that. And then if you go to below that, 16-17 and 17-18, generally there's a, I'll say, an increase in the number of non-compliance regression across, you know, supply chain. You see that DCOC had findings, MISA had findings, DRL and MDB had findings. DTN, CAGA had findings on ACM, but they were not significant enough to go to all the committee. So you find that, I mean, to the audit report, that you see that they still need to tighten up those areas, otherwise it will then take away the clean audit status that they have. If I break down the findings that relate to supply chain, in the next slide, procurement tool, of goods and services available through transversal contract, PRL had one finding there, and then criteria applied in evaluation that differed from the specifics that they were put in the other DTA as a finding there, and then supplier scoring highest points not selected, which is MDB specifically. This one relates to the lease that they are leasing at the moment. That contract was under investigation and came to that effect, and I think they are going these criminal charges that are being pursued against the previous accounting officer. And then if you go to contracts extended without approval, mainly the biggest contributor is DCOP relating to implementing agents, and then you've got also relating to the building that they are residing in, and then also CRL. We had various contracts relating to really not big things like, you know, like printers and all those kind of things. And then we've got this advertising for a shorter period, and also it's relating to the building because they bought the building. They also have the additional building that they've acquired, so that the results from that. And then local content. Not stipulating the minimum threshold. We had the majority, so you've got DCOC, CRL, and MDB having a role there. And then competitive bidding, not invited, you've got DCOC and SALGA. Like I was saying, SALGA, even though we have that finding, it was not significant enough if we evaluated to go to audit report, but it's something that they should look into, otherwise they'll take away the clean audit status. These are the same issues last year as well. And then supplier takes affairs not in order, NDB comes there, and mainly because of the issues that I've mentioned. Chairperson, if you go to the next slide, talks to unauthorized irregular expenditure investigated. You find that in the current year, which is 2017-18, only CRL did not do anything in terms of investigating irregular expenditure. The rest they did, we're just saying the next step is not taking place, which is consequence management after investigation. So the reports are there, but they are not acted upon. And then if we go to the next phase, which is supply chain finance reported for management for investigation. In the current year, it's only DCOC, which is mainly your implementing agents. And then if you look in the previous year that we basically said they must go investigate the supply chain finance that we raised, all of them they investigated. But I'm just saying the next step is the one which is failing, which is consequence management. If you go to the next page, we're talking to root causes, why these things are happening, and generally why the environment has just regressed across the portfolio. The first one is mainly adequate no response to improving key controls and address interest. So we make recommendations, they just not implementing that. So the agency of implementing that, and also just no response at all, which is, I think, it's more of the case at DCOG of just getting recommendation but then not moving at all. And then the second part talks to inadequate consequence management, poor performance and transgression. The DCOG and CRR comes into play there, that consequence management that is not implemented. And then the third one is inability vacancies. I think in terms of vacancies, the portfolio generally they have improved, which is filling of the accounting officer at DCOG, and also filling of permanent CEO at MISA, which is a positive in terms of stabilizing the structure within the whole portfolio. So I think generally, I think that's the, and then if you move to the recommendation and commitments that they've made in the previous year that they would do, so we evaluated that in the current year. You'll see that, I'll just go through the list there. DCOG, they promised that they will to manage and monitor implementation of identified action in the integrated management tool, still in progress. They also promised to make reconciliation between VAS, CWP, MIS, and CWP Standard Bank. It's still in progress kind of action. And then also DCOG, they also wanted to say they will implement contract management to effectively manage the supply chain issues and submit quarterly reports related to that. But that is also in progress. And then MISA, also to the promise to prevent irregular expenditure and food long-term expenditure, but we're still finding that in the current year, so it's still in progress. And then MDB also wanted to implement some checklists to improve their supply chain, but they still have irregular expenditure related to that. If we go to the next phase, talks to where they did not do anything at all. So there's no movement on this one, the commitments that they did last year. So DCOG, last year they promised to prepare quarterly financial statements with complete schedules, submitting to management internal audit before the sign off by DG and submission to Treasury and the HSA. That was not done. And then DCOG to improve compliance with laws and regulations and put consequence management in place to curb irregular expenditure, that was not done. And also DCOG to review payments on an ongoing basis of unauthorized, irregular, and fraudulent expenditure and investigate, make recommendations, and implement the action with corporate players, that was not done. and then also to prepare quarterly reports, performance reports, annual reports as required, and submit to internal audit for review, for final sign-off by the DG and submission to AGS and the Minister, that was not done, and also to implement service providers, to appoint service providers to address the CWP asset qualification. Yes, they appointed a service provider, but it ended down in a regression. Last year, they didn't qualify on CWP assets. This year, we had a disclaimer, complete disclaimer on assets. So it just tells you that the service provider they appointed basically did not yield any fruits for them. Chairperson, then the last slide, which we talk about corruption, and say, if you look, normally you'll have the state's got a monopoly in providing service and the discretion to make decisions. But if there's no accountability, which is apparent, for example, in DECOG, you have the brewing of potential corruption. And that is just our story. The person will then take direction.
Thank you very much, President, for the presentation. Governor Tsipi wanted to make a point on the table.
Yes, I wanted to ask a question concerning the payments that were made to deceased people, payments made to work not done, and participants also who received could not be in the practice, that what you said, who received money. So what have you done as a department in this regard? What steps did you take as a department to, you say you could not verify participants. What were the responses from the officials in this regard?
Okay, let's take another question, third one.
No, thanks, Chair. Maybe let's start with your formula. C is equal to M plus D minus A. What about where do you put commitment? Because also if you add commitment, if you fail to commit yourself, it will appear there on your formula. To me, the M plus D, it must also add the commitment is C. I find it C as also a major input in that formula. I don't know whether you agree with me on that or not. To me, it's not only the two that are major. Listening to your report from the beginning up to the end, it just moves me to see that you must add your C there. Secondly, Chair, is it possible that I appreciate your slide, but in other areas, like where you indicate the root causes, inadequate or no response to improve the key control and addressing this area, is it possible that in other areas, you must tell us that in this department or in this entity, these are the issues that we are talking about. Because your slide just summarizes for us and give us a broader information that you all belong to this block. But inside the block, there are entities that specifically, we will appreciate if you can identify the thing that in this area, like DCOP, this is what they have not complied with. Mm-hmm. That can assist us so that we don't go back to their report and read their statement, their previous statement, and try to make sense. What is it exactly that they are failing to do? And also my other clarity is on the fraud and consequence management. The CRL, the 33%. I'm trying again just to bring my memory back here. What were those things that you have not been, that they really not have complied with on that? That is page 25. If you check your page 25. And your page 23 as well. You talk of 2% increase there, irregular expenditure and supply chain management. You indicated 378 million. That I hope that this line is indicate the increase, or is that a decrease from the 608 down to 378, or is the upward, is the other way around? I just want to understand that black line there. I'm not getting it, whether is that a regression or it's an upward increase, which indicates to me this is more than 60 more than 65%. Yeah, it needs to be changed.
Sure.
Thanks, Chair. This is a mine, it's a question and a comment. I just want to find out in this in the internal audit committees, from various institutions. What is your role as an AG, maybe to assist those committees so that they perform an effective audit before they hand it over to you, so that whatever they pick up on the way, we are also picking up, and then we move forward. I just want to check what is the role of the AG to assist in that regard. But also secondly, on page 16, the assurance provided, there is a internal audit unit which is indicated that it's good, I think, in terms of the presentation. Yes, particularly on the GTA, SALGA, CRL. But it's contrary, because their financial does not improve, it regress. Now, I'm just confused, because my understanding was that this good work that has been done by the internal audit unit, you know, is going to have a direct bearing, you know, on the financial matters. In other words, the financial matters, for example, for CRL would be improved because of that. That was my understanding. My other question is on page 10. Vacancies in CFO position remain unchanged, because it goes without saying, if the CFO is not there, you must expect bad, whatever institution or organization. Now, I'm not so sure whether the AG, as an AG office, were able to, out of the provinces, for example, were able to say these are the provinces that have more challenges, these are the, maybe like municipalities and so on, but we are able to say, so that we begin to say, we want, this is our recommendation in that particular, so that at least we have a clear understanding, even if we want to resolve this. This particular challenges. Yeah, from now.
Well, thank you, Chair. My first questions are on
slides 15 and 16. First of all, let me thank the AG for a very comprehensive report. You talk about intervention being required at DCOG. What do you see that intervention being? How would that intervention roll out? Then I'm very concerned on slide 16, and particularly the executive authority level. Well, in fact, senior management, accounting officer, and executive authority. But the executive authority is where the big issue arises for me. Because the executive authority in this department is the minister. So if you're saying that the minister is providing limited or no assurance, we need to hold that minister accountable, and he needs to say what he's doing to fix it. Would you agree with that statement? And at the accounting officer level, obviously it's the DG, and that needs to be spoken to. Then on slide 22, with regard to the irregular expenditure of 717 million, and quite a jump from the prior year, you haven't actually, as far as I can tell, provided a breakdown by entity or department so that we can see where that irregular expenditure is arising. Do you have that information? I know you've broken out the most common findings on it, but not exactly how much is in DCOG, how much is in CRL, how much is in MISO, etc. Slide 25, Honourable Tefa has addressed. On slide 26, one of the issues that you identify on slide 24 is that DCOG is responsible for a significant chunk of supply chain management issues and also investigation. But there's no reference to DCOG on these investigations on this chart. Where how did DCOG do on their investigations? Did they meet them? Did they not meet them? No, we're all investigated, some investigated, none investigated. And then we do take note of the follow-up on that with regard to consequences. I think that's all, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Let me also thank the Auditor General's Office for providing this information. Maybe if I will ask questions that are not really for you, maybe are there for the internal audit, because I believe we should have the internal audit before we have the General Auditor's Office. I just want to check on page 18, the management and delivery on key programs, especially performance and reporting. The concerns that have been raised, especially in this particular slide, whether is there any mechanism within the department to do follow-ups and checks and balances in terms of how these matters have been addressed, and whether the Auditor General did receive information in terms of the areas of concern that have been raised by your office to the department to rectify these matters. And also on page 819, whereby there are also issues that have been raised in regard to PESALs, people who are getting paid, but they are having PESAL numbers, meaning that they are employed by the government at the same time, and also at the same time they are doing work for the government. And if those irregular expenditure and the unpaid invoices, what is going on there? Do we have the mechanism in terms of our internal audit that is giving us information in terms of the areas where we should be focusing and correct those areas?
Are you done?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anyone who raised his hand?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, do you have a question?
Yes, Chair, thanks so much. I also want to check on slide 14. What are these findings, especially on DCOG, because I've never seen DCOG on the green bar, but it's always on the on the other, on the other, because I just want slide 14. Here's my slide 14. Yeah, there it is.
Okay.
It's 13. No, no, slide 14. If you look at 2016, 2017, and 2018, 2019, in 2016, 2017, there was ECOS, MISA, and MDB. We find it. Do we have this information so that we must know what exactly are these things? Because some of them, they are continuously repeating what they have been, it's the carrying on of what has happened even in the previous year. If that information can be provided to us to know exactly as to what exactly are these materials.
Okay, thank you very much. Maybe before Auditor General will answer some of the questions that were raised, I just want to make a follow-up on what Honorable Travadala was saying. My question was on the management letter that you usually write to the department when you are busy with your process of auditing. Do you have that session that you sit with the department to highlight the challenges that you have picked up before the final audit report can come out? And if you had that, what was the response from the department and these other entities? And the second one, I would like to know about your relationship as the AG with the department. Can you just clarify us on that one? And let me just give you the chance to respond.
Right. Let me try and respond to all the questions. Let's find my question. The first question spoke about CWP and the deceased payments that we made to deceased people and the people that we could not verify, and what was also the response from management in that particular case. The only thing that management could say is that they will go and investigate the issues. They were aware of some issues, but generally they said they will go and investigate because they will have to go and find those people. Basically, but what we recommended to them is that what you will have to do is to go and re-verify everyone who got paid. And the difficulty about the program is that people come in and out. So you could be here today, you could be not there, you know, tomorrow. So it makes difficult, but they should be able to go and put mechanism in place because they've got NPOs who are on the side. They need to verify these people and provide assurance that these people are there. And then I think the other one is also, which is more a desktop exercise with Home Affairs database, they need to match those two databases and see who's deceased or not, because it cannot be that you pay deceased people. So they need to match those. And the concerning thing is that for both people that we could not verify and deceased people, that those people got bank accounts, so obviously there's a living person who's got access to the funds, which is a more of a fraud issue than anything, which the department needs to investigate. So I think they committed to go and do that, but it's more of an engine thing than to leave it aside. In terms of the formula and the commitment, the corruption, but if you check the slide there, it talks about accountability. Accountability encompasses the volume of a term. It also includes
you accept responsibility, you're committed to what you do. So when things go wrong, you also accept that you went wrong and you rectify. So that's where accountability there is. It's a broad term. So that is saying if there's no accountability, then there's a brewing for potential. I hope I answered you there. In terms of the root causes, if I just go to the root causes, where we saying we want to identify certain issues. For example, also responses, I think that's where your comment comes from on the commitment. There is literally less commitment from, especially from senior management down, in terms of addressing the issues. And that's why we see the issues on DCOG. In other entities like CRL, I'll say there's some level of commitment, but there are issues within the environment that they need to deal with to improve the control environment, which is more to say, instead of working together, we're not working as a team to make sure that we eliminate all these areas. Because it's not a big entity, it's a very small place here. So they could easily be clean for number of years if they just work as a team and put controls in place. So it's just that, and the other thing is that you had the regular expenditure last year, you just decide not to investigate it. So it just tells you that there's something just not right there. And then if you go to MISA, they would investigate, but then you find repeat findings and irregular expenditure. And also what they do is that they will investigate, submit to Treasury, and Treasury will not condone. And Treasury, normally they do it on good basis, where they will say, but you haven't done enough. So there needs to be also clarification from Treasury what is required, and also to make sure that when they investigate, there is consequence management as well that follows. Because I think that's normally what Treasury looks for. Treasury will say, it's all well and done that you've done the investigation, but then you need to go to the next level where there's consequence management. It's either you recover the money, or you put people through disciplinary steps that you need to do. And then I think the one also on MDB, they get irregular expenditure every year. I think what also makes it issues is that we have issues of conflict of interest, where people are not declaring their interest and then dealing with the entity, and also issues. I think there also the issue of that building being investigated, and then them not disclosing their regular expenditure. And also I think the other thing is that, like we're saying, the biggest thing is the consequence management, which is more what the forensic investigation in MDB said, pursue criminal charges against the accounting officer even if they've left. That has been slow, but they've done that. It's just to be to follow up and make sure that this is done. And then if I go further, fraud and consequence management. Oh yes, and then CRL I've touched. I think I've touched on CRL, but you can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, Honourable Chairman. Just to add there, on slide 25, the question just about why CRL is red there.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically for the previous year's irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the investigations that need to take place. So if the entity or officials within the entity had incurred fruitless and irregular expenditure, the department needs to follow up within that next year and perform the investigation to see whether there are any officials that need to be held accountable. So that's what didn't happen at CRL and why they read then on slide 25.
Mm. And then if we go to the page 23 on the irregular expenditure, that line that goes up, it shows the irregular expenditure that's going up. That's basically what it means. And I think there was another question on the unpacking of the irregular expenditure. That is within the management report, which I can, I think the department can provide, because it's given in the corporate management report. And they can also, I think, just to do justice to the whole thing, because here we're looking at only the contribution for the current year. So I think what we require is that the management must be able to give you a full listing of, let's say, for example, if you take DCOC, a full listing of the 1.6 billion, what makes that 1.6 billion to be where it is. So I think that management, if management can ask the department to provide you. And then I think that will go across the entities, because Erega Expenditure is sitting at 2.3 billion or so, closing balance across the portfolio. So I think it's you will need the specific suppliers, what are the transactions, and so they will be able to do that. And then in terms of the internal audit and the role of the AG, for us to make them do the right thing and catch these things before we come, we do work with them, internal audit, and we try to collaborate and avoid duplication of efforts as well. But the problem is more the challenge on the ground. So you find two issues that we found in the portfolio. It's either where we say internal audit is good, they've done what they can, made recommendations like we do, but management is just not moving on the other side to implement the recommendation. Hence, we find the same thing. And then where we, for example, if you take, MDB, if you take DCOC, where the internal audit is there, but the things that we picked up is things that are not, I would say, technical of nature to really pick up. So there's a mixed bag, but I think the majority is sitting where these recommendations are being done, but no movement. I think it goes along to also assurance providers, which is more on the oversight side. If you look at internal audit, audit committee, portfolio committee, same recommendation, same issues have been discussed, but it's just, we're going back to that accountability issue. Just no accountability on the other side. And that's where it is. So you find that audit committee, they are fairly okay within the portfolio. Majority of it, and they do have a share, one strong audit committee. They take time in dealing with the issues, but it's just on the other side that needs to move. Same as internal audit. In fact, majority of them, they focus on the right thing, but it's just because they need to make sure that it's implemented before we come. But if management is not willing, it's as much as having not done the audit at all. Yeah.
Sorry, Future, but if I can just add there on DCOP, with the internal audit, what might be a bit different with there is mm-hmm. there is capacity issues in terms of that, so they weren't able necessarily, like what Philip was indicating, mm-hmm. normally they would come audit the section, then we would come in because they provide that level of assurance. That was also lacking in the sense of the timing of the audits happening very late, or they're not having the capacity to actually perform that assurance. So that's why, but that's specifically just on DCOG.
I think we just go to the department as well, which is something overall within DCOG, is that, for example, internal audit, if you talk about capacity, you've got 4.5 sites of DCWP sites. This is 250,000 participants. You can have that number to cover that sphere. The department as well, it's not just they've got implementing agents, you've got that 4.5 size and also 250,000 participants. Then the question then comes to say, should the national government be performing those functions, or should this function be sitting somewhere in the provinces? But that's another question that we also had a discussion with them. So from a strategic point of view and from a political point of view, there needs to be a will to relook how this program is managed, because national department should mostly deal with policy and oversight. So that's the other thing to really look at this, because the question that also would come is that will we ever get out of this thing? Looking at the magnitude, if it remains like this, chances are unlikely. But if there's a different way of rethinking how the model should work, things can move, you know, and putting mechanism in place and monitoring and reporting in place. That's basically in a nutshell what can be. And if I just go back to the in terms of the internal, okay, I've started on the internal audit. The terms of the vacancies, we said unchanged meaning there hasn't been any vacancy in the portfolio itself. And then there was also a question in terms of provinces and municipalities. We do that analysis when we do the municipalities audits, which is more MFMA related. Then we do the unpacking of all the municipalities and how vacancies are. So if we can be able to get hold of our general report for the MFMA, all that detail is in there, so you'll be able to say which specific municipalities got a problem around vacancies and so forth. And I agree with you, I think it's a major issue where there's no person, there's no work that's been done. So that is just generally, and also it talks to the issue of the skills. I mean, it's also in the general report, and Treasury also released a report relating to that. So that information is there. And then where we say intervention required and how at DCOC. This is where, when we say the certain level doesn't provide assurance, that means the next level needs to kick in. So if oversight needs to kick in and do more in-depth oversight that needs to happen. And for example, if I just make it practical, this one, like I was making an example now to say, the next question is to see, you have a foresight, will ever this thing will ever change if it remain like this? It's no. But the question is that, can we do anything else? Maybe we can relook at what public works is. Public works is not perfect, but they've taken this to the provinces. But then you need to proper monitoring and tracking and the reporting thereof to make sure that it then it doesn't get lost in the system. And also I think the other thing is that you don't take it all the way to municipality, because municipalities, they've got their own challenges. And this is, I can tell you now, CWP and EWP combined, it's a drop in the ocean what they have to deal with if you have to go to a municipal level. So if you give it to them, they will never be able to take it seriously. So, and it's got its own operational challenges, how people get into the program, how people exit the program. It's all the local level political issues also. So so once you take it to the province, then you have a proper mechanism. You can be able to minimize the impact that we have at the national level. Because generally, like I said, you need not to be performing that function at the national level. You need to be policy and oversight in terms of that. And then the other one that talks to the one that talks to the minister, executive authority, that will go along with the accounting officer. The new incumbent, they just came in February, so impact was very limited. The previous ones, they were supposed to make sure that this happened. It did not happen. So that's the honest reality is that. And then, like I said, then it comes back to, okay, but we've got senior management there. What were they doing? It goes back to the accountability issue. Lack of accountability, lack of commitment, lack of consequence management for poor performance. So that is basically the root cause of that. So that is just basically to unpack that. So all I'm suggesting is that there needs to be a different conversation. How do we resolve a problem going forward? This is the bad that happened. How do we move forward and how do we make things better? Because at the end of the day, if you look at CWP, it's at the heart of alleviating poverty. Yes, there's other job creation initiative. We just have a job summit. But where people can be able to, unskilled people can be able to get into the program, this is what is helping the ordinary people out there. And if something is not done, then people, ordinary people at the ground, they are suffering. So there needs to be a different conversation altogether. How do we look at things differently and change the model? And then I think also, in terms of the breakdown of regular expenditure, I think I've spoken to say if you get the department to really give you the breakdown of that 2.something billion which is sitting in their whole portfolio, 1.6 billion sitting in DCOG alone, they need to give you a breakdown of who suppliers and how much it is. And in terms of the... Okay, let me just see which one
is slide 24.
Slide 24.
Okay. Tracy, you honourable chairperson. The question, what we understood, was just the comparison of what's happening on slide 24, indicating all the non-compliance, especially for DCOG, and then slide 26, just indicating the one instance for other ATM findings to be reported. Basically, what we're showing on slide 24 was just the non-compliance that took place during the year DCOG, but it wasn't necessarily. These will just follow through a normal investigation in terms of your UIF that they will follow. Specifically, what we're referring to on slide 26 was a specific instance in SEM where there was other indicators that showed that the department, so it's a specific investigation. It's not the normal investigation that has to go through. So that's why you might note there's a lot of non-compliance on slide 24, but as I say, that would just go through your normal investigation for the irregular, where it triggers the irregular, but slide 26 is a specific instance on an ACM-related matter that they have to investigate further.
Okay. And then if you go to the next question was more to say, why is DCOG not on the green? I think we've unpacked, I think, slide 14. We've unpacked the issues. Since, I think if you go to slide, which slide is this one? Slide 12, that talks about the audit outcome. You still see that things started deteriorating from 15-16 all the way down to where they, at the moment, they are at the worst of Kenya. And it's just what we just unpacked in terms of the control environment. And then I think the in terms of the management letter, yes, we had sessions with them. So and the normally just to unpack is that we'll discuss each and every findings we issue it, and then we'll discuss the management report with them, with the accounting officer, and then it will go to the next level to audit committee before you even sign off. I think the other entities, they've got commitment. I think where we're not finding commitment, which is the same song we've been singing, is DCOG. Only the accounting officer has got the will, and obviously the new minister as well, to say let's turn this thing around. But it's just the below surface which is we need to deal with. So which is normally, I think, if you go back to that slide I was talking about, the accountability, slide number 9. If you implement acting in terms of consequence management, then you should be able to see things turn around. That is currently not done, and that's the thing that needs to be done to turn things around. And you also need to do an assessment if you've got the right people at the right places as well. And I think that's the crucial part that we need to really turn this thing around. If that is not done, then we'll be sitting the same thing. Because, for example, I was thinking, one of the crucial things that the new accounting officer did is to establish a PMU unit for CWP, and he's appointed an audit firm there to assist them, which is a good point in the right direction to minimize the impact. But the question still arises to say what did people who are employed there to do, what is in the consequence management in failure to implement what they were supposed to do. So which is another conversation on its own. But these measures that has been put in place to alleviate the issues there. And then I think in terms of us, our relationship is very good, I think, generally within the portfolio. It's very good with them. They cook very good. They are very responsive to us in terms of meetings. Yeah. So in terms of, yeah, normally you'll find that it's, in our work, if things are like this, it becomes a very hostile environment, but not in the cook. I think even management will attest to that. So it's just a different conversation that needs to happen, because you also wouldn't like things to remain this way. I think that is just how it is. I think also with where we can come in early, I think one of the things that we discussed with the accounting officer, we most welcome to do what we call continuous auditing, where we come in November, we give you a break of a month. Come in November, you do something, you give it to us, we check, we do it, it comes as we check. So that when you come in 31st May, then you're not now surrounded with huge problems that you are unable to submit financials, which then you submit 31st July, which happened in this case, but then you become with the worse opinion than last year. So it tells you something systematically needs to be fixed. So if you do it chunk continuously, we can be able to then assist you so that at least you move to a better state. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if I missed
anything. There was one question that I asked that I didn't get an answer to, that was about the breakdown of the irregular expenditure.
Okay.
By entity or department.
Okay. What we can do, I think it's better, as I was saying, it's better that the department provides details, because they will give you all the payments that relate to the irregular expenditure.
Sorry, Chair. I'm just looking for the globular amount.
Okay.
So how much was irregular expenditure at NISA? How much was the irregular expenditure at DCOG? How much was at CRL? I'm just looking for that. I'm not looking for the.
Okay. I think I've been mentioning to say what you see in the slide is the contribution for the current year. The balance for DCOG is sitting at 1.6 billion. What we're sitting at NISA, can you correct me, is 341 million. And then maybe can what's the closing balance there for the other ones are small, like CRL and them. I just want to get
CRL is 8 million.
Yeah, CRL is 8 million.
And then it's MDB.
MDB.
So 21.
Okay, but now that is the current outstanding uninvestigated over a number of years figure. I mean, that's not. So I'm looking at the 717 million, of which 608 is in the current financial year. How is that broken up? In other words, which department or which entity must we say, guys, you need to sort out your irregular expenditure?
Okay. DCOG forms the majority of it, and then which is around 300 and something, and then you've got
331 on the CWP.
Yes. And then you've got bulk of it then is sitting with MISA.
Okay.
So MISA is also, I think, and the biggest contribution for MISA is basically the rental, the office that they are occupying. That's the biggest driver of the delegates.
Okay. Can you also provide us on your accountability plan, your slide 9, like what you did on the last slide,
yes,
where you give us, like, in this plan, these were the issues that were in the plan,
okay,
which were the targets that they set this month. When you go to do, they've not done it. So that we understand the entire section.
Yes.
These are the issues that were being discussed. Is it possible that the information like that can be provided? And also the last one, also the figures, as one to see, as the previous speaker has also alluded to it, can you give us those figures in writing so that we knew exactly what makes this total? And especially on DCOG, well, DCOG, we would really need to demand a management report on that so that we can see your engagement with the DCOG, to see where are these really things that they don't want to really improve.
Yeah. I think we can talk to the slide in terms of the plan, do and check.
Yeah.
You can clearly indicate to you where the problems are.
Okay.
But also we can give you the detail. But I think I can just quickly do it quickly, just to give you some insight in terms of that. In terms of the action plans, obviously I think we've spoken about the DCOG for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then also MISA also was a problem because of the irregular expenditure, the repeat irregular expenditure, and also MDB also because of the irregular expenditure as well. CRL, to some extent, they did have an action plan, but they just, for some reason switched off because they were clean last year. So they should have maintained the internal controls in terms of it. And then in terms of useful performance indicators and targets, mainly the main issue there is only DCOG that's biggest problem, because they had a disclaimer for prison all programs that we audited, and then I think that's basically, and then we've got an improvement on MISA. They did not have findings on performance information. And then in terms of the internal control, internal control regressed mainly because of DCOG moving from qualification to disclaimer, and also CRL moving from clean to basically unqualified with findings, mainly supply chain issues. And then obviously this, obviously in terms of issues on MDB controls aren't working in terms of supply chain management. So those are the biggest drivers there. And then if you talk about ICT controls generally are fine, but it was just a slight regression on DTA because they didn't have findings on IT last year, but then they had findings in the management report relating to that. Like I was saying, on the vacancies relating to CFO, all of them within the portfolio for CFO, so it's not a matter of concern, it's unchanged. We just say unchanged from previous year. And then if you go to the check part, senior management accounting regressed, mainly because obviously DCOG is number one, and then obviously I think I've spoken to CRL who have regressed, and then no improvement on MISA in terms of irregular expenditure and also MDB. So those are the biggest drivers. So, but the main regression comes from CRL moving from clean to unqualified with findings, and also the regression, the big regression on DCOG to disclaimer. And then I think if we talk about the executive authority, which is already spoken about, it's mainly in your DCOG, because the funny thing about the portfolio is that you've got constitutional institution and then how far do you go in terms of oversight. But if you talk about the department, if you look into the department itself, from qualified to disclaimer, then that's when you say, this is where the executive authority needs to have acted differently. And then I think also in terms of the internal audit and audit committee, I think the regression comes where we've noted, for example, regression on the issues of, especially MDB, I mean, some of the things were like very, very obvious that you should have done. And I think also, I think we've spoken to DCOG also, capacity issues, and but some of the things they could have cached. And then I think if we talk to, I think we've spoken about consequence management, especially on CRL where they didn't do much. But I think the main problem is that these investigations are being done. I think there was a question as well to see how much of this illegal expenditure is not investigated. They do investigate. If you ask those reports, are there? They're just not acting up. So in addition to the management report, maybe on DCOG can also request the investigation report that they have done. I know SIE is also in the picture somewhere. I don't know how far they are, but SIE is also on the ground. So I think that those details can be provided to the committee through management.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to make a follow-up on the irregular expenditure. I think it would be helpful for the committee to have that breakdown, because even though we are going to engage the committee, I mean the department, but if we have an information ourselves, then we'd see where they are just telling lies or they are just covering us. So I know that maybe you don't have the information with you now, but can we please, as a committee, get the information, the breakdown of those irregular expenditure, so that we can know that in DCOG, the regular expenditure is 3.something million, and it is because of 1, 2, 3. So that when we engage with them, we have an understanding.
Sorry, Chairperson, I think it's one that is the management report, I think management report and the breakdown. I think because you will need even further information than what we have. So the department, if can provide that, they can, because it's still in the financial thing. They can provide to say who's paid and who's which supplier and what did they do with the department. If they can, so along with the management report and the breakdown of that, they can be able to do that. The full information, because they will have to go to their records and retrieve that. So that's the plea that I would do.
No. You know, if we have an information from the AG ourselves, and when we engage the department, they will bring those records that you are talking about, or the reports that you are talking about. But we have an information from yourself, then we will be able to find out if they are covering up or they are lying to us.
Okay.
So it's just a plea to say, can you assist the committee to do it well?
Okay. Chairperson, I think it's something that
we'll look at it.
But I'm just saying the information you got from them. But anyway, it's fine. I think it's the same information. You know? So you just, I think the other thing that always probably you will then want to know the finer details, which then they will be the only one who will be able to provide for you.
No, look at the TG, what's the general's office, look at it. But the information is already here with us. The department must then explain themselves in detail about what are the issues. And then we can then engage with them and see what else they can do. Complicated at the AG's office. Yes. Do it right.
It's simplified.
Okay, that's good. Yes.
No, we're fine, because the information that we're looking for, the AG has already provided that information to us. This is the information. The department will give us the reports that they've submitted to the AG's office, because AG would not have prepare this report without receiving information from the department. That is the report we are looking for from the department, so that we can be able to clarify some of the matters of concern that have been raised by the report.
Okay. That's fine. Do it. You are fine now. When you are focusing like this, then you would achieve it completely.
No.
Right, man.
No,
okay. Now I do think that the HG's office has given us information. They will look at the request that is put forward by Honorable Madulebe. They may find ways of simplifying some of the issues there. Philip?
Sorry, Chair. Just on the regular expenditure, I think the other thing that is also tricking us is that we qualified DCOG on irregular expenditure because they could not quantify. So it's still an exercise we still have to go into. So even if we give you a list, it will not be complete. Let me just put it that way. They still have to.
But the main problem, mm-hmm. Philip, is that is the issue that we have been raising. The CWP, the community work program, is a big problem. And I think the point that you are raising, I think maybe we should try to consider persuading them to decentralize it in areas where there are metros. They must take it to metros. Because to find Deben, they may have 2,000, maybe we should lose 5,000. It's easy to monitor those things. I know that they've got their own problems. But to monitor it at the national level, they have quite a million. When there are no systematic way of dealing with it, I think it's a problem. This has been an outstanding problem for us for many years now. We appreciate the objective and what they are doing, but no one can account exactly. That's why there are post workers there, the Andalus, people who have passed all the services that there. I think they want to vote also, and they. I think that's a problem that you face, General. And that I think we should find a way of engaging, but it's not a HG's office. Anyway, it's a broadcast decision that we have to make, because there must be persuasion of the broadcast team, because a lot of money, and but none of us also can. In a quantitative way, not even qualitative way, how does this thing assist us to create job opportunities? Is it able to take our people out of a dire poverty state to another level? That's an issue that I think we are raising, training particularly, other things. I think ourselves at the political level must sit down, have a discussion with the minister, director general, and just to have a discussion about what is the best route that we can do. Because the department generally is a transfer department. The money comes, it goes to all local authorities everywhere. Generally, the money that they retain sometimes, generally the bigger chunk of it is the program. And this program, no one knows exactly. It's difficult. If you buy a spade in Ntuzu, is one. And then there's one Ntubatuba 100 somewhere. National, I'm not sure how can we work out this thing in terms of barcode and things. It's almost impossible. It's almost impossible that then the department must employ thousands of people who go and then you have to buy this paint, decorate it, it doesn't. I think it's a bigger problem, General, on that. Politically, we are clear about what is the intention, the objective. We have to measure the impact that it's making. And then after 5 years, General, that is making an impact on this. This is the broadcast truth, really. Audience General wouldn't do it for us. I think we must engage on that to have a discussion. I know in Funi, in Feni, there are hundreds of them, but we don't know them too well. Some are sleeping, when in the, under trees, and they don't manage men. There are a lot of problems anyway on these things, and when they go in, at 11, they start cooking tea under trees, they leave at 1, go home. Generally, there's nothing that is assisting us really to ensure that first they get the skills in order for them to become employable. And there's a bigger issue that we have to deal with it. I think we have to look at it, colleagues, and politically, and see what we can propose. If they can agree to decentralize it to municipality where there's capacity, because again, municipalities themselves have problems. If we decentralize this, they take the money, they pay salaries, and then the whole thing will collapse. And then there are a lot of things also municipalities, because not all of them have capacity anyway to do this thing. Because if you give them 100 million rand, what is your municipality doing?
Chief
Albert Tutuli, there's no money to pay the staff. They'll take that money.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy money that they can take and use it for payment of staff and other problems that they're facing. I'm saying there's a problem, generally, that they're facing on this issue. We'll take time to persuade national leadership to agree with that approach anyway. Because unless we move forward, those that have capacity, they can demonstrate that they can manage it better, then they could be assisted. I think we should take a gradual approach. Where there's capacity, we give it to them. When there's no capacity, national retains it one way or another. Because otherwise, you can cause a real problem on it. And the polka issue that we have to raise, and I think it's very helpful for us, the report, Philip, because and Dr. Stefani, because it's very assisting us. We know now the cultural rights commission, what is the problem? The supply chain issues, generally. 2 years ago, again, we're engaging them on the same issues. It seems there's a problem of supply chain management issues. And I think we can deal with that one. Mr. Mep is going to improve now because he's a revamped general. There's a comment to many municipalities, and then maybe that will change on that. I think DCOC at a smaller level can change faster, but we have, as long as there's these community workers, a quarter million of them, they'll remain like this. And I don't have hope anyway that they're going to solve this problem in the near future, unless something happens that would be much wiser maybe to how to manage it. Anyway, I don't know in the world which country is managing a problem like this. Because you guys, you always visit Malaysia, Indonesia, maybe we can learn from it. But there's no other country that manages same thing like this, where the community workers, the health workers, there are a lot of programs for purposes of job opportunities. It is a very difficult issue to manage. But of course, we also ask that if you are able to pay social grant to 7 million people in South Africa correctly, surely a quarter million is doable if we put our heart and minds on that issue. Because we pay all of our 17 million people. Surely, if you are able to do that every month correctly, we wouldn't fail to manage a quarter of people with that deployed correctly, system is set up in place. It's the issue that we have to address ourselves politically. And then I think we'll then meet with the team. Honorable Melham, I know that your cousin is coming, and if you have right, we'll have a discussion about it. DCOC, I think they're coming also. Of course, they delay report and everything. I think they are coming tomorrow to account. I think they'll explain the reason why they've delayed everything, because they do account to the committee. DTA seems, but also not a big money department. Maybe they're managing this thing because they're not dealing with initiation as well. Once they deal with initiation, there'll be more problem also for them to account. And then DTA, I think, is doing well at the moment. And I think Mr. can address. Demarcation board is always have this problem, and I'm not sure the capacity problem, but you have applied, you have raised the issues, DG and AGs. We'll try then to work it out and see what other issues there. Bagumalima Sipula, Sikukun is fine?
No, it's not fine.
No.
Recently 5.5 million. Go on.
Okay, AG's office is going to deal with that. Okay, colleagues, another issue that you want to raise the AG's office? That will assist us to be much sharper when we are meeting with our colleagues from the department and other entities. Type of fine.
Yes, except to say, Chair, that we need some fine details. We appreciate the slides, are very good. But when you listen to the slides, the way they present it, you learn more than the slides itself. So if they can also provide us with some of that information, particularly on figures, because slides without figures showing the comparison, you get lost when you're not being taken through the slide itself. The slide can be interpreted in many ways. But this is an excellent one, Chair. We really appreciate it.
Okay. Stephanie, any issue that you want to raise?
No, Chair.
We are fine.
I'm fine, thank you very much.
Philip, any issue that you want to raise?
No, Chair.
We are fine. Okay, colleagues. We should then agree then that they have assisted us a lot. We are going to read it. If there are many other issues that you are not sure of course, we are always available. Mm-hmm. We will link up with you and have discussion and see what else we can do. I think, thank you for this, and it's very helpful. I think we are more empowered now when we go and meet with the department tomorrow and we'll have discussion. DG, you are like parliamentarians anyway. We know already now that October 10 next year you'll be here. Because that's how parliament works. You can plan 10 years from now. This date will be here, this date will be here. No one can fail to plan. Because it's a similar thing, unless there's an earthquake that can affect us, I think. But generally, the planning issue should never be an excuse to fail to do things. Never, because this thing is not like all some parties, the DA, they can change everything anyhow. Parliament is like this forever. Since 94, you know, October is what is happening. You can even know that the date is this date. It's the 9th today. It's the 9th every year. It will be 9, 10. But no one can say, I can't plan ahead of this. Mm-hmm. And then unless the person doesn't want to plan. Because we can plan now already before we are leaving next year in May anyway. Members will be reminded from time to time that we should start taking in our rooms there. The term is about to end. Melham, goodbye Melham. But you are coming back, Melham, I know. Colleagues, I think it's very good for us to have a good discussion. AG's office will always be available. They will give us information. Whenever we need them to assist, they will come. And we'll work then. If there are issues that again, you pick it up, you want us to improve in terms of assurance, ensuring that accountability, please feel free to make proposals to the members. Then we can work it out in a manner that assists us to do so. Thank you very much for attending. Any announcement? No announcement.
We still trying to confirm the venue for tomorrow's meeting, so the venue for tomorrow.
Okay. The venue committee will be, members will be notified.
By
who?
You
can't be disturbed by pizza. Allow them to enjoy life. They're in urban areas now. Okay, colleagues, thank you very much for the meeting. You are invited for tea and coffee and water. Really. I didn't see you drinking water.
Yeah, no.
I'm very worried about you.
We need to declare this word.
Declare this word. Thank you very much.
To explain some of the stuff. I'm not sure what it says, and I don't want to misrepresent. For starters, I haven't even looked at this, because I didn't have a copy. So I'm going to go back and look at it. If I have any, because I need to indicate what is your office audit opinion, and get the correct figures on irregular expenditure, perhaps indicate which parts, of the portfolio are responsible for the greater part of the, something like that, so that I can put it together in a comprehensive and easy to follow. Yeah. I'm just, because you're the one who's been working on this.
Yes, everything works through our pipeline movement. You are, so we don't talk that
I can't call you and say explain something.
again. Yeah, that's good.